All right, good morning. If you are new to Life Creek, we welcome you. And if you are an old member, we also welcome you back to Life Creek. And my name is Tim. And all righty, if you have your Bibles with you, we encourage you to bring your physical Bibles. If you don't have one, it'll be up there. If you could all rise for the reading of the Word, if you're able. And it comes to us today, Psalm chapter 1, a very familiar passage. I'm sure you have heard a lot of sermons on it. Psalm chapter 1, and after I finish reading it, I will say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all respond by saying, thanks be to God for his truth, and then have a seat, and I'll pray, and then we'll begin, okay? All right, Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. We'll work on that. All right. Let me pray for us, if you could join me in prayer and ask for God's help. Our great God and Savior, once again, if you leave us to ourselves, man's thinking, our own devices, we will not conform more and more one degree of glory to another, to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, help us. We have read your word, your precious word. There is power in your word. We have even sung of the power of your word, the preciousness of your word. And so I pray that you would come with power from on high. Give us clear truth, so that that truth might come into our minds and meditation, and they will percolate into our hearts, so that we might with joy live out your truth in this dark and twisted generation, I pray. So help us. We need your help right now. Do not leave us to ourselves. Do immeasurably again more than we could ever ask or imagine, not according to our power, but according to your power that is at work within us, I pray. I planted Apollos water, but you gave the growth, and so we pray for that miracle. Now I pray all this, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. If you grew up in the church, this psalm, very famous psalm, the first psalm that actually sets the stage for the rest of the psalm, is very familiar to you. I have preached it many times before. I haven't here over the years. Read it numerous times. I'm sure you have heard sermons numerous times. But when a passage is too familiar and you think you know a passage, then it can be really dangerous. And the reason it can be dangerous is because when you come to it, you're like, well, I know this passage. I've read it before. I've heard sermons on it. I think I know. And so you stop studying the passage. You stop asking critical questions or in this passage because you know, right? Like you know the Lord's Prayer. Everyone here should know the Lord's Prayer. This is how you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's we learned that, right? Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts, adoration. That's what we're doing. Jesus is telling us to adore God, adoration. And then C, forgive us our debts, confession. And then T, we learned this, right? Thanksgiving. And then you do all that before you do the fourth one, S, Acts, the request, the supplication. And so we know the Lord's Prayer, and so we stop asking questions, and we stop thinking. And that's similar to this passage, Psalm chapter 1. You've heard it many times. You probably read it many times. You've heard sermons on it. And he says in Psalm chapter 1, the title of the message is blessed is a man, blessed person, not the which is pretty clear. The opposite of the blessed is the wicked. We don't want to be a wicked person, a wicked man. We want to be a blessed man, a good person, a person that God will be pleased with. That's the blessed man. And a blessed man, Psalm chapter 1, he says, we need to read our Bibles, not every other day. He says that. Meditate. You know, I don't have time to. I think I could do a sermon on just the word, what meditate means. It's not just to gloss over it. It's to stop and think about it. Ask questions. What is God trying to say? What is God trying to say to the church and to me? And he says, blessed person, not the wicked person, reads his Bible, meditates on it, stops and ponder it, not 30 minutes. I mean, that's one of the dangers of, I think, when it comes to the Bible. When Jesus or God says something, we reinterpret it to fit into our life, you know, right? We do that. That's dangerous. I mean, obviously, God knows that I have a busy schedule. I mean, I work, crying out loud, 8 hours a week. I mean, how is it possible to meditate on God's word day and night? And so we interpret this to fit our own life, not the other around. We're trying to fit our life into this passage and then reinterpret it. And so blessed is a man who reads his Bible day and night. And so day and night is after work, after dinner, after I watch my TV, I get on my bed and read for 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes. That's the blessed man, right? That's what he says. I mean, God, you can't possibly tell me, knowing my life and my life situation. I mean, look at my wife. 3 kids. 5, 3. And 10 and a half. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked and then read my Bible day and night. I can't. I have 3 kids. I work. Overtime. I'm at school. I'm on this accelerated program. This can't possibly be true for me. And so we reinterpret it. So it's not day and night. It's 30 minutes. Maybe it's an hour. That's the blessed man, and we feel good about it, you know? I mean, I'm sure other people in the church are not reading their Bible. I know. They're probably reading it once a week, you know, or not even reading at all. You know, so that's all right, right? I mean, we're not perfect. We live in a fallen world, right? And so that's how we interpret passages like this. But does it say that? I remember a bunch of Christians were sitting in a round table, and I was actually going through Psalm 1, and one of the Christian leader, to give a little background, was the charismatic movement came sweeping the church in the past few decades. And the charismatic movement, if I could just basically sum it up, and this is obviously is not the whole sum, but if I could pinpoint one of the things that the charismatic Christians emphasize on is emotionalism, you know, feelings, right? If you didn't know that, then, you know, it's got to... And so you will see in the praise, they will jump up and down. And I'm not saying that's bad, okay? So that, you know, you can see that in a charismatic church. I don't see anyone jump up and down here, you know? And so they showed the emotions. And so the other side of the church react to that and say, that's not good. We can't react by feelings to God's truth and doctrine. We need to know, not just feel. And so the Christian leader was saying, we're trying to encourage the people to Christian discipline, to read their Bibles more. Okay? You don't have to tell me. I know. We all could do better in reading our Bibles. Because I know my life, and it's hard. It is. It takes discipline. You know, it takes some willpower and motivation. And so this Christian leader means well, right? They wants to get their people to read the Bible more. It's a good thing. It's what he says in Psalm 1. Okay, not just 30 minutes, but day and night. And so when you don't feel like reading the Bible, anyone here wake up in the morning and say, I want to read my Bible. It's so good. Anyone here experience that every morning? I doubt it, because I don't experience that every morning. Some mornings I do. Some mornings are easier to go to my Bible. Other mornings are harder. And so when you don't feel like it, when you don't feel it, okay, when you're not motivated, when you don't desire it, that happens often. So this Christian leader says, just do it anyways. You know? It's the Christian discipline. Even though if you don't feel like it, if you just do it, it's better than not doing it, right? Anyone? Not doing it versus doing it, even though if you don't feel like it, you just do it. And doing it, okay, even though you don't feel like it, you will benefit. And I think this Christian leader will say that you will change. When you don't desire it, just read the Bible. And I think that's how most people here think so. You know, because you've learned this is a discipline thing, and you've signed up for this read the Bible in a year, right? And then things are getting hectic. Job is stressful. Marriage is not working well. Life is not going the way you dreamed. But to bless a man, I gotta read my Bible day and night. And so even though you don't want to, you've learned. Option number one is you just do it, okay? And do it as fast as you can, right? Is that what he says here? Just do it, even though if you don't feel like it, for 30 minutes or whatever. It's option number one. I think some of you guys are on that boat. Well, you don't feel like it, but this is good. And it is good to read the Bible, not every other day, not once a week, every day, meditating on it day and night. The option number two, the Bible says, Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, reads his Bible, meditates day and night. But, you know, I don't feel like it, so I can't be a hypocrite, right? I mean, it is not good to force yourself to read something that you don't want to do, right? Because it's not real. It's like me telling my kids, eat your broccoli, you know? Even though if you don't like it, it's good for you. Just eat it. And I take the more of my wife obviously is a good mother, and she knows that even though my kids don't want to eat greens, she knows it's good for them in the long run, right? And so she will strongly encourage or even make bet, not bets, but like, I'll give you a cookie afterwards if you eat this, you know, and bargain with our kids, you know, and, you know, for me, I just like, if you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. Okay, I don't have time to battle with my kid to eat your greens, even though it is good. You know, I didn't eat vegetables until I was college. I thought vegetable was like the most grossest thing. How it's crazy that you would pay for a salad, you know? I didn't get that. I was just more of a meat eater. And obviously I changed now. Vegetables are good. Does taste good, you know, with some dressing, you know, and some croutons and some bacon. And so second option is I got to read my Bible. That's a blessed man. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do it. Right? And a lot of you guys are in that boat. I know I should, but I don't desire right now. You know, and it's going to be empty, right? This is just walking through the Bible, but I don't want to be there. I'm thinking about something else. And so I'm just not going to do it until I get motivated. And then when I get motivated, when a pastor says, if you don't read your Bible, then you're going to do bad in your midterms. Then you're going to read it or whatever. And I don't think Psalm chapter 1 says either of those two options. There is a third option. There is the truth. Most people misinterpret Psalm chapter 1. And so it doesn't set them free, like as we sung. Where is it? Right? It says the truth, the power of the truth will set you free. It is the power of God. But because we don't have the clear truth in the Bible, we think Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, read your Bible every day, day and night. And so that's how we live. And it does not say that. And we have option 1 and option 2. There is a third option, the biblical option, where there is power. And look at it. Blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffer, but his what? Did it say, blessed is the man who reads your Bible every day, day and night? Did I say this before? This is a repetition. It says what? Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law. He loves it. When he goes to it, there is a joy there. There's a desire there. And on his own, in that joy, in that delight, he goes to the Bible. And it's not a chore. It is easier to meditate day and night when you delight in it, when you love it. Those are emotional words. Those are feeling words. So force yourself, because you don't like it, and you're forcing, it's not biblical. It's not. There is an alternative way, a biblical way that God gives. It's not a formula, okay, per se. That's the blessed man. Not option 1. Force your way. I don't want it, but I'm just going to read it anyways. Or option 2, I don't feel like it, so I stop reading it. Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is a man who goes to the Bible and he loves it. He delights in it. It motivates him. He wants to go to it. It is not a chore. It's not begrudging doing. I remember I'm a pastor, right? And there was a Bible study that a group, they only had, wanted to do Bible study. That the only time they had was Saturday at night at 8 p.m., 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And for a pastor, that schedule is not the greatest. you know, because I'm fairly busy the next day, and so Saturday is sort of a busy day usually for pastors. But because they had that time, I said, great, let's do it, you know. It's better for you know, me to fit my schedule into their schedule, because the Bible is important and it's good to study it. And so I don't remember a day where I had to force myself to go to Bible study. I love going to Bible study. You know, it's not a chore for me. But this one night, I remember clearly, for some reason, I forget, I didn't feel like going to this Bible study. You know, didn't. And I was like, and it was snowing. Didn't help. And I thought, should I cancel it? I don't feel like going, you know. Bro, of course, you know, I can't cancel it. The pastor can't cancel it, you know. If the members don't show up, that's one thing. But the pastor, giving an excuse, like, I don't want to go. it doesn't work. And so, you know, it's my duty, was right, and so I need to go. Even though I didn't feel like it, I wanted to stay home. You know? And so I forced myself to go. You know, left, you know, 7 o'clock, get there a little early. So I took option number one. See that? Even though I don't want to go there. On the way to the campus and the elevator, I did not take the option number one. You know, it is not good that we force ourselves with God, you know, and with His Word. And so the biblical option is, as the I was going, you know, into the elevator, into the room, the Bible study room, I just prayed. And the prayer I did, you don't have to be holy to do that. I prayed, God, I don't feel like it right now. But when I go into that room, okay, and the students are there, God, create in me a delight that I want to be there. God, you could do that. He can! You know, when David prayed that, create in me a clean heart, he was just saying phrases. He was praying to God that he knows. The God, he read his Bible, and he's a creator God, not just a general God, a creator God, and in the beginning he knows there was nothing, emptiness, and God says, he speaks, and he creates something out of nothing. David knew that. He wasn't trying to generate delight in himself. Thumb up, thumb down, thumb up. I could do that all day long. I just can't generate delight. I could try to force it, but it's not there. So David knows, even in his heart, he can't clean. Create in me a delight, God. I can't do it. With man, it is impossible. I don't have the resources. But with God, what? Can you finish it? All things are possible. He could create a desire that's not there, and he could make it happen. He's God. He's the living God. That's the gospel. The answer is not in you. The answer is outside of you. God. That's why God sent his Son. If he think he could do it, if you could make it by your own power, he would not have sent his Son. You and I cannot defeat sin apart from Christ. Apart from me, you can do what? some things, apart from me, you can do zero, nothing, Jesus says. And so I prayed, God, help me. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I should want to go to Bible study. It's not magic. And this time, he actually answered me. I didn't have to fake it. And he gave me joy. I didn't create it. I just prayed, God, help me here. Why do we pray to God? How come you don't pray to me? But don't pray to me because I don't have the power. I don't have the resources. The reason you pray to God for anything is because you and I are helpless. We can't do it. So we pray to someone who can. And so you and I should pray very often. We can't even do the simplest things in the Christian discipline. We can't. We're not able to. You could try. But that goes so far. Man's work goes so far, you know, and it just fizzles out. I mean, have you guys experienced that? When you guys go, I don't know, last time you guys went to a retreat, it's great, right? Christians gather together, you know, and do all the Christian stuff. It's so good, right? And then you make a commitment. Oh, even though my Christian discipline was not good before, now I'm going to try to do it. And I'm going to have some schedule. And you come back to the real world, what happens? And you try. What happens? It goes well, week one, right? Week two, week three, a month, maybe two, maybe 3 months. I'll give it to you. And then it just goes like this until you realize you're not reading the Bible anymore. A lot of you Christians do that, not just with the Bible, even with prayer. Most Christian disciplines. That's not the Bible way. That's not the Christian way. That's not what the Bible says. Blessed is a man who delights. God, I want to delight. It is easy when you delight. You don't have to force anyone to go to do anything. When you want to do it, you will do it. Right? You might be busy with all your schedules and all the stuff, but when you fall in love and you like someone, there's a desire, okay? And so you make time, not begrudgingly, no, because you like this person. And so even though you're busy, you set aside time to be with that person. There is the delight, there's a desire. And so, perhaps why our Christian life is not working as it should, and there's no power there, is because we don't have clear truths. We're taking option number one, right? Forcing ourselves to read it. That doesn't work. We know, even as parents, it doesn't work. Trying to force our kids to do something that they don't want to. Okay, I mean, it goes so far. Or option number two, which is just forget about it. I don't feel it. I don't want to do it. I want to do other things more than sit down to read this boring Bible that I don't even understand. And so, you know, I'm not going to read it. To the Bible answer, which is the blessed man, we must delight in it. There must be joy in our hearts. I'm not saying superficial joy, okay? I'm talking about deep joy that only God could give us. Only He can. We can't create that. It would be short-lived. But when God touches us, it changes us forever. That's what we want. Living water. Bread, when you taste it, you will never hunger anymore. We need God's touch. We need Christ's touch, touching our hearts. Do you see that there? Blessed is man who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. You need a miracle. I need a miracle. And to meditate day and night is another miracle. It doesn't help when we say, oh, see, Pastor Tim, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy my schedule is. No, this is impossible. And so you don't do it. That's not the right answer. The right answer is, God, change me. Take 30 minutes or whatever, 5 minutes into 10 minutes. 10 minutes into 15 minutes. Change me, please. Don't reinterpret the Bible. Blessed is a man who delights and reads for 30 minutes. Good job. It doesn't say that. It says day and night. God, change me. So I might delight. This could be true. But if you try to do it on your own, that's not the gospel. We are not the good news. We can't. That's a false gospel. That's the law. The gospel is we can't do it. We look to Christ, not just for our forgiven of our sin, but to live this Christian life. The gospel is not just for non-Christians. The gospel is for Christians, that you need to be preached over and over and over every day. Stop looking to the self and start more looking to God, looking to Christ, not our own strength. There is the Christian life that the Bible describes. There is the power, not you, God. Let me give you two verses as I end. I'm running out of time here. It's going to be up there. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. What kind of giver does he like? Begrudging giver? Giving by force? 10%. Got to give it to him. Bible said that. No? And like, I could buy something else with that. A good dinner with that. A steak dinner with this. But Bible says so. And if I don't do it, then God's going to strike me down probably. That's the wicked man. And so you give it. That's what he says? No. God loves a what? You got to want to do it. A cheerful giver. Someone who's generous with the things that God has given you. You're stewards of it. The money is not yours. Don't you know that? God has given it to you to use it for his kingdom and those people around you that needs it. Those who serve, Psalm chapter 10, 100, verse 2, look at that. Jesus says, the Bible says, God loves a begrudging server. Even though you don't want to serve, just do it. It's a duty, right? You're a servant. And if I don't serve the church, then my life won't go well the way I want to. Doesn't say that, does it? What kind of serving does he like? The blessed man is what? Serve him with what? Not because I have to. Not because I need to or something bad's going to happen to me. Serve with what? Gladness. I want to serve my brothers and sisters. Even though making the coffee is not the most glamorous job, or printing the whatever, and back in there, no one, you know, the sound, whatever serving you do, not the most glamorous, but I do it with gladness. I do it with joy. I delight in. There is the secret. And when you don't have it, it's not to create it by yourself. God, help me. The joy is not there. The delight is not there in serving, in giving, in reading my Bible. Prayer. Good night. You know, prayer is one of the least practiced Christian disciplines in the church, in a Christian. You know why? Because a lot of you take the second option. I pray and nothing happens, and so forget about it, you know? What will happen is what will happen, you know? I can't change the future, and so we stop doing it instead of taking the biblical option. And so, my brothers and sisters at Life Creek, clear truths, truths in the Bible will give you power, okay? It's not magic, okay? It's not because you pray it's going to happen, but you pray to God who is able to make our lives work. You know, one thing, before I end, one thing that is so clear to me when I read my Bible is, man, they always fail in the Bible. Always. And when God shows up, he straightens things out. Okay. So the answer is what? The answer is God, not us. That's the blessed man who understands that God is the answer and not me, not us. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven,